Father God, we just thank you and we praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and purpose. Father God, we thank you tonight as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void. But Father God, that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. But Father God, we thank you that we'll take that word that we have heard that springs forth life on the inside of us, and then we'll share it with the people who are down and out, the people who are hurting, the people who are lost and dying, and share the love of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying and hurting world. Father, we thank you for revival to this generation, for revival to this nation, for revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst today. And Father, we thank you. We come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that is big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that's always present, that anointing that just saturates us and changes us in an instant. And Father, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to start out actually where I start out a lot of times, only because I wasn't going to start out there, but it actually fits with what I'm going to preach on, so I might as well start out there. John chapter 10, verse number 10, from the New Living Translation. And once again, I do want to remind you, the devil is out to get you. All right? And it says here, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy, but my purpose, Jesus' purpose, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So understand, the thief has one purpose and one purpose only, to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy your family, to do everything in his power to make your life miserable. All right? And if he can, he would like to kill you. He would like to wipe you out. But if he can't, doesn't kill you physically, he wants to make sure that you have a miserable life. But we don't have to have a miserable life, because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We might have a wonderful life. Not the Christmas movie is going to come like 50 million times, and it's a Wonderful Life, which I've never watched the whole thing because every time it comes on, I turn the channel. But anyway, and the interesting part about it is a lot of times, you see movies, see things, and you're like, is that really a wonderful life? The kind of life that Jesus wants to give us is a life of more than enough, a life of all sufficiency, having all sufficiency in everything. Amen. But really what I want to talk about is the devil. Obviously, he's out to get us. And, we are always battling with him. Then I want to turn over to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm also going to read from the New Living Translation, just because a lot of times I like to do that, because a lot of times we never read from this translation. It kind of says things a little differently. But this is a final word, because Paul is kind of wrapping up his first letter to the Ephesians. But he says, I want to remind you guys. He says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Understand that our strength is always in the Lord. All right? We can be strong in him. And then it goes on to say, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. Remember, the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy from you. All right? And then it goes on to say this, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. And then it goes on to say, so therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. All right, and then it goes on to say, stand. It goes to talk about all the different armor of God, and we actually talked about that a few months ago, but I'm not going to go into each piece of the armor. But it's, the King James says it like this, having done all to stand, we keep standing. Now, what he's saying is, sometimes we don't put two and two together. Two and two make four, right? But sometimes we don't think about what he was saying is that there's principalities and powers and rulers from on high that we need to come against. And the way to come against them is stand against them. We stand our ground. And, you know, sometimes it, when it, you know, the day and age that we live in, we're so used to getting everything immediately. You know, we live in the microwave fast food generation. You know, and it's funny. One day I was at McDonald's. And, you know, I say one day, very few days I actually go to McDonald's. I like McDonald's breakfast. I'm not a big McDonald's hamburger person. I like Burger King hamburgers or Whataburger hamburgers, but McDonald's is not my favorite place. But for breakfast, I'll go there. In fact, a good thing about it, now they have breakfast all the time. But I was at McDonald's, and, you know, McDonald's is notorious. I mean, whenever they're really busy is, you know, they have hamburgers ready to go, so they just take the hamburgers and put them in your bag, and you're ready to go, and, you know, give you some fries that are half warm and hamburgers that are half warm, and it's great, you know. You know, you got your food. But, you know, they were really, really busy, and literally this happened. there was a guy, he ordered his food, and he had it to go, so he's standing there by the counter, and he was, like, getting really upset. He goes, you know, went to the manager and said, "Ma'am, I've waited 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and they haven't got my hamburger out yet." I mean, he was mad because he waited 5 minutes on his food. You know, you would think that you would actually be happy. I get to wait 5 minutes to actually have fresh food. You know, actually, I do like McDonald's fries. I'm not a big fry eater, but you know, I like to have a few fries. And so if anytime, my granddaughter loves McDonald's, and so she likes to get a Happy Meal. I'm not sure if she actually likes the Happy Meal or likes the toy in the Happy Meal. I'm trying to figure that one out. But anyway, so, you know, but she does like the fries, and so sometimes when I'm there, I'll order fries. And you know, when they tell me, said, "Hey, sir, it's going to be like 2 or 3 extra minutes, you know, because we're cooking you fresh fries," I never say, "Oh man, you know, no, can you just give me the old ones?" Because there's nothing like fresh McDonald's French fries. I mean, you know, that are hot. I mean, it's just good. You know, I guess the only other thing might like that is homemade chocolate chip cookies, you know, that just, you know, came out of the oven, you know, and, you know, you can smell the smell, and of course, you have to let them cool a little bit, or they're going to be too gooey, but I use grab cookies before they actually are, you know, set up enough, and they're all over my hands, or but it's always good. And so the thing is this guy is mad because he has to wait 5 minutes. It's a 5 minute wait. You know, and that's the same way. I mean, I've caught myself the other day. I was standing at the microwave, and I cooked, you know, my microwavable food, you know, a minute and a half or whatever it's supposed to be. And I'm like, well, it's not as hot as it needs to be, so I'm going to put it in for another 30 seconds. And it still wasn't as hot as I would like it, so I put it in for another. I'm like, this is taking forever. You know, because I had to cook in an extra minute. And it's funny part, because a minute is really, really quick, goes by really, really quick a lot of times, unless you're standing in front of the microwave. It's like, you know, especially like the other day we were making microwave popcorn, and you got to wait that 2 minutes, and you're like, you know, it's pop, pop, pop. Is it like, you know, come on, I can smell it now. You know, when it starts to smell, you're like, I just want to eat the thing, and, you know, please get done. And then when you do open it, the thing is so stinking hot that you're like, you know, whatever. But you know, we're just used to everything being quickly. All right. And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, there are some times when it comes to healings, when it comes to receiving things from God, sometimes it does happen instantly, but sometimes it doesn't. And, you know, this is basically, Paul was trying to tell the people at Ephesus there, he says, you know, if it doesn't come immediately, don't worry, keep standing. And do everything you know what to do, but you just keep standing until it happens. You know, because but he did point out, he said, you have to realize that we're not fighting. See, you know, in essence, you're not fighting against a sickness or a disease. You're not fighting against a financial need. You're fighting against the devil and his cohorts and all these people that are trying to keep it from you. Because the devil wants to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy you. He doesn't want you to have something good. And I believe the devil has figured out that a lot of Christians, because they're so used to fast food, fast this, fast that, if they don't get it, then they just quit and they get mad at God. And, you know, and they're like, you know, this faith stuff doesn't work. But, you know, if you'll persevere and you'll keep standing, it will work. But, you know, while you're standing, you know, some people, the problem is they're standing around doing nothing. And the devil, you know, is keeps blocking your blessing. In fact, the only really good example, and some of you maybe have never read this example, so I want to read this to you guys today. You know, sometimes as ministers, we kind of feel like first grade teachers, you know, that actually read the book to the kids because they never read it themselves. You know, maybe that should happen in college. A lot of times in college, I was guilty a lot of times of never reading the chapter and things like that, you know, myself. But my teacher never cared. I don't care if you read the chapter or not. If you can pass the test, you know, so be it. You know, a lot of times I was smart enough to pass the test without reading the stuff, and that was good. So Daniel chapter 10. I want to turn your Bible to Daniel. Daniel's in the Old Testament, if you don't know, you know where it is. Daniel chapter 10. Verse number 4, we're going to start to kind of, you know, give you the whole story to, you know, sometimes, you know, we read verses, we don't get them in context. We're going to read from the New Living Translation, once again, because it's new and living. And because sometimes, especially in the Old Testament, if you go back to the original King James or even the New King James, you get so confused, you don't even know what you're reading. In fact, the other day I was actually, I was teaching in a school, and it was something. I had some stuff in my notes, and because my notes were done quite a while ago, what I've done, what I do in my notes is I actually have the scriptures there, so that way if I want to just read them, you know, and not turn there, and so it was a King James version, and it was like a whole passage of scripture. And as I got reading, I got so confused, and I'm like, you know, I wasn't really confused. I know what I was reading, but I'm thinking, you know, Rhema is different than it used to be. I mean, we got a lot of 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, and I said, I could tell that these people weren't getting it. So, you know, I had never read the New Living Translation of the thing, but I said, let's just back this up, and let's go to the verse I went, got in my Bible here, or my iPad, and went to the New Living Translation, and after I read it from there, it made a whole lot more sense. You know, and so, you know, you realize that, you know, you can't stand on God's word if you don't understand God's word. And, you know, sometimes we don't understand. Now, some people, they read God's word and they try to put their own interpretation on it too. You know, and so you can't do that as well. We have to read things in context. And sometimes, like the other day, my middle stepson, he just recently got married. So his new wife, my daughter-in-law, is really, I mean, you know, she was saved, and, you know, and she, I would call her a marginal Christian. You know, you go to church, whatever. But, you know, she's just really on fire for God and been reading a lot of my grandfather's books. And also besides that, you know, because I, we talked about it, I said, have you ever actually read the whole Bible? No. And I said, well, start with the New Testament. And so she's reading the whole Bible. And so she got to a place over in Hebrews. And so she was asking me about something, you know, and so, well, in order to answer her question, I gave her a chapter in Hebrews to read. She goes, oh, if I would have just waited one more chapter, I probably would have figured it out. What you know, I didn't, because I was on the chapter before. And so they had mentioned a little bit about it, but the next chapter they really talked about it. So see, sometimes if we read the chapter before and the chapter after where we're trying to read, we'll actually understand it. And so that's why I want to read some things, you know, a little more than, you know, whatever, you know. But so we're going to start on Daniel 10:4. 10:4? All right. You guys are old enough to remember CB radio, so you know what 10:4 is. I mean, you know, now, at my Rhema class, they wouldn't know what 10:4 is, except for the three people that are laughing their head off about, you know. So it's so funny, you know, because, you know, at Rhema, we have people from all ages, and there's sometimes that I'll say stuff that all the older folks are cracking up about, and all the young kids are like, I guess I got to Google that one, you know. So it's funny, because I always tell them, just Google it, and we'll get back to you. All right. It's just interesting in the new what it says. It says on April 23rd, which is kind of interesting. It says the date in the Bible. So we know what day it was. April 23rd. And so this is Daniel and his vision on April 23rd. This happened on April. I don't know what year it was, but on April 23rd, Daniel had this vision here. All right. He says, as I was standing on the bank first of all, Daniel had been praying for 21 days. I'll give you that part. Had been praying for 21 days about some things, and then he had his vision. At first he didn't know he was having a vision, but his happened because on April 23rd, as I was standing on the bank of the Great Tigris River, I looked up and saw a man dressed in linen clothing with a belt of pure gold. I mean, think about it, that's pure gold, not 14 karat. No, not gold plated. I mean, you know, you see a lot of some of these, you know, wannabe hip hop, you know, guys with gold plated whatever. This guy, I mean, this is a belt of pure gold. I mean, you know, think about it, you know, a whole belt. I mean, what, especially a belt from my size, you know what that would weigh, you know, it would be worth. Anyway, a belt of pure gold around his waist. His body looked like a precious gem. His face flashed like lightning, and his eyes flamed like torches. So he was glowing, all right? His arms and his feet shone like polished bronze, and his voice roared like a vast multitude of people. So he sounded like more than one person. So he's like, you know, he put echo in his voice. Hello. Anyway. And then it says, only I, Daniel, saw the vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide, which is really weird. Nobody else saw anything, but they got scared. I mean, I don't know. I read the word, and I'm like thinking, why did they get scared? And, you know, and I believe what happened is, you know, when it comes to spiritual things, a lot of times we can feel a presence. You know, and we've all been there. We walked in a room and we felt something eerie or evil or whatever. And that's when we have to stand against those kind of things. And what we don't, so evidently, you know, they felt their presence, you know, a spiritual presence, but they didn't know if it was good or evil. They didn't see nothing. I mean, these guys saw nothing, but they ran. Daniel saw the vision and he stayed, you know, but I mean, you think about it. You're standing by the river, you know, enjoying the riverside, you know, and all of a sudden, poof, there's a person. And I mean, you might want to run too. I mean, you know, something like, can I have your gold belt? You can just leave me your belt and you go on. Anyway, but so it says, so I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me and my face grew deathly pale and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Now, I mean, how awesome, you know, would that be, an angelic figure or whatever to tell you that you're very precious to God? But here's the deal, is you don't have to have that because I'm here to tell you you're very precious to God. And sometimes we don't realize that God loves us and we're very precious to him. And he doesn't want us not to get our needs met. He wants us to get our needs met. He wants us to prosper. That's why Jesus said back in 10:10, John 10:10, that I have come that you might have an awesome life. So please have one. Now, the only thing that's going to keep him from having an awesome life is the devil is going to be out there to try to make sure your life isn't awesome. But then Paul over here said, you know what? You need to come against the devil. You know, and you need to stand. And you just keep standing. And you keep standing. And you keep standing. And you keep standing. Anyway, but I want to read this before I get to that. It says, he says, Daniel, you are very precious to God. So listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. And that's pretty good. I mean, if an angel tells you to stand up, you probably should stand up. All right? Then he said, don't be afraid. You know, and just for angel trivia, Almost every time an angel appeared to anyone, you know, in the Bible, one of the first words out of his mouth is fear not or don't be afraid, because everyone got scared. You know, and I know a lot of people have said, well, I sure wish I could see angels. And, you know, think about it, you'd probably be scared too. You know, and, you know, because, you know, it's just not normal for something just to pop out of nowhere. You know, and especially something, I mean, you know, when he described it, I mean, you know, the eyes were like torches and all, you know, it's glowing and all of this. I mean, that's just not, I mean, that's something you see, you know, in one of these movies. Not something that you would see, you know, especially when you're, I mean, it sounds like it was the middle of the day. You know, he was at the river. I don't know. I don't know what he was doing at the river. I don't know if he's just standing there. I don't know if he was going to go fishing. I don't know what he was doing. But he was there at the river. Anyone, then he says this in verse 12. It says, then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. I have come in answer to your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come. And he goes on and tells them, you know, that. But my point is, for 21 days, the answer was on the way. But principalities, rulers from on high, were blocking the answer. And, you know, if we think about this, you know, in line with some of the stuff that we've been believing God for, whether it's financial, spiritual, or healing or whatever, I mean, the answer could be on the way. But the devil, El Diablo, you know, the mean guy, he's trying to block it. And if you don't stand, and if you don't keep believing, you're going to miss out on what the message is. You're going to miss out on your blessing. And, you know, when I think about this is how many people are missing out on what God wants them to have? How many people get frustrated and say, I guess God doesn't love me. I guess he doesn't think I'm worthy enough to be able to meet my need. You know, because what happens is, like, the devil will start lying to you and say, well, you haven't got an answer yet, have you? But, you know, that's why Paul said, keep standing. Now, when you're standing, you don't just stand there. What you do is you keep believing. You keep confessing. I mean, you know, what I do on a daily basis. Now, this is really easy. If you have something that hurts in your body, it's pretty easy to confess. Because what I do, and, you know, what I did when it, just not too long ago, when I was having some kidney issues, and sometimes when I would go to the bathroom, I could tell by my urine and by, you know, things that protein was leaving my body. So as soon as I looked at that, you know, my mind would get dejected. But on the inside, I would say, thank you, Father, that I am well. These kidneys are normal. Thank you, Father, that my body's not leaking protein anymore. But I just saw the protein was coming out. But you know what? I'm not moved by what I see. But see, you know, and it's really easy. Let's say you have a hurt arm or a hurt leg or whatever, and it's real easy whenever you step on that hurt arm, or step on the hurt leg or hit the hurt arm. If you're stepping on your hurt arm, then you're kind of, you need to get up. Quit trying to walk on all fours. But, you know, whenever you bump, it's inevitable. If you have a bruise somewhere or you know, it seems that you hit that bruise or that place, and if you don't hit it, somebody else does. I mean, someone just loving on you, want to shake your hand, I don't know how many times people have a hurt shoulder, and all of a sudden they'll come and they'll, you know, someone, my dad's really good about that, whacking somebody on the shoulder, and you're like, you know, it just, I don't know, it's like, Your owies are like targets for everybody else, you know. And if everyone else can avoid it, then all of a sudden, you know, you're waking up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom or whatever. Then then something, you know, I don't know how many times I've hit the edge of the bed, or I've stepped on toys, or, you know, hit this or hit that, or my granddaughter has this dollhouse that she plays with, you know, and it's actually in my room because she likes to be in my room. And so sometimes she moves it just a little bit, you know, because, you know, she's playing with it, you know, and it gets moved a little bit. And so I think, you know, I kind of thought I had figured out in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, boom, it just hit right on the side of that stupid, you know, the edge of that edge point of that dollhouse, and, you know, it doesn't feel good. But, you know, here's what I always do. If I have something that hurts, every time it hurts, that's when I praise God. You know, now, I'm not saying sometimes I say ouch, you know, but after I say ouch, I say, thank you, Father, that my leg's healed. Thank you, Father, that this is, in the same way, I guess I got this from my grandfather, is, you know, he's always a stickler. He believes in doing everything in the natural and in the, you know, naturally and spiritually. He always said, you know, if you're sick, go to the doctor, find out what's wrong with you, and take medicine. But every time you take that medicine, and I do it all the time, every time I take medicine, I say, thank you, Father. I mean, I took a lot of medicine when I was going through a kidney thing, lots of medicine. I mean, I'm like, I looked at my, you know, by my bed, and I'm thinking, I look like an 80-year-old, you know, grandpa or whatever. You know, my wife's grandmother lived with us for a while, and one of the biggest things that we had to do was we had to remember all her pills. In fact, you know, she had to take pills in the morning and, you know, pills in the afternoon, pills at night, and all these. And so we had one of those pill things, and you know Monday pills and Monday morning pills, Monday afternoon pills, but we had, you know, where we had these bottles, we filled these pill things. I'm thinking, man, you know, I can start my own pharmacy here. I mean, I don't even know what kind of pills I'm even giving her. I just know that they're blue pill and they're in, you know. And sometimes she was said, you know, she say something like, "Was it time to take my blue pill yet?" No, Grandma, you got a couple more hours. Now she knew what the blue pill was. I don't know what the blue pill was, but she, you know. And then sometimes she would go sneak the blue pill, and you're like, "Hey, where's the blue pill?" "Oh, I took it already." But I'm like, but we don't know when did you take it? All of a sudden, you know. But you know, every time I took medication, every time I always thank you, Father, that I'm well and I no longer have to take the medication. You know, so by doing that, I'm standing. You know, my grandfather told the story. I'm sure many of you probably heard the story of when they were doing a meeting out in California, and it was summertime. So not only was it my grandfather, my grandmother was there, my dad was there, and my Aunt Pat was there. I mean, they were, you know, young children, and, you know, children like to eat. Old people like to eat. Everyone likes to eat. And they actually had a travel trailer that they pulled behind the car, and so they were staying there, and they didn't really have much food in the trailer, and my dad talks, you know, my dad can tell the story, you know, better because he remembers not eating much. And so they were eating like a can of beans, not a can of beans apiece, but like one can of beans for the whole family, you know, and it's trying to preserve what they had. You know, all in all, you know, my grandfather was standing in agreement that money was coming to buy groceries and stuff. And in fact, he got the whole family together. And it's really easy to get the whole family together when they're all starving. And so we're going to thank the Lord for food. Now, and so about 3 days went by when they've been claiming it. All of a sudden, somebody came, and you know, my dad says he had a pickup truck, and the whole truck bed was full of groceries. And as soon as he got there, this guy talked to my grandfather. He said, my dad said he wasn't even listening. He went out there and started grabbing groceries, started hauling them in. But this is what the man said. 3 days ago, the Lord said on the inside, you need to go buy a bunch of groceries for Brother Hagin, you know. But I thought to myself, oh, he doesn't need anything. I mean, it's just probably me, you know, or whatever. And he said, you know, for 3 days, I kept, you know, over and over again, I kept hearing that. Finally, I figured, you know, I'm just going to go get them. You probably don't need them, but I figured you can have extra groceries or whatever. And see, what happens is, that was one way the devil was trying to block the blessing. Because especially when it comes to financial situations, a lot of times he uses people and, he's trying to get it to these people. And see, the devil was trying to put in this man's mind, well, he doesn't need that. He doesn't, the deal is that a lot of times we don't know what people need and what they don't need. A lot of times we're thinking, well, they're way more blessed than me, so they don't need $100. They don't need $50. I mean, what's $20 to them? But what you don't know is maybe that $100 or $20 or whatever was the exact amount of extra money they needed to pay a certain bill. And the deal is, I always, if I feel the Lord leading me to do something, I just do it. Even if I don't think that they need it, I'm like, you know what? Who cares if I miss it or not? You have an extra $20. You have, go get some food or something. But it's amazing. Just like, we just had the men's conference, there in Tulsa, and my wife was, it started on Thursday night, and so I had came home a little after I taught class on Thursday afternoon. I got there about 2 o'clock or so to get ready for our men's conference starting on Thursday night about 7 o'clock. And so usually I'm not always home, in the afternoon. But I was home, and we one of our ministry employees comes over and helps. He cleans my pool, my dad's pool, and some other things, and so. My wife, I was in the throne room, if you want to, I'm not trying to be vulgar, I'm just trying to tell you where I was. So normally she would probably come and talk to me, but I was doing my business, got my poopery beforehand. And so my wife came to me and said, Craig, I just want to let you know, because I teach financial management, I have an accounting degree, and when it comes to finances, I always want to make sure, everything is, on the up and up, and I noticed things, and so, but I had taken my money out of my, like I was going to change pants, so I, put them, and she says, I just want to let you know, because I know that you always know how much money you have, that I was just sitting there, and all of a sudden, I just felt that, the young man John, I said, I just felt that, I felt led to buy him dinner, so I took a $20 bill out to him, and told him, that I just feel led to buy you dinner tonight, and here's $20, and then said, as soon as that happened, the guy was very thankful and pretty happy, but then he said, I asked him, I said, are you on the men's conference starting tonight? And he goes, well, I'd like to. He didn't, and my wife, before the guy even came out, he said, so is a financial thing why you're not going? He goes, yes, ma'am. And so my wife said, okay, well, it's my department that the registration said I'll hook you up. You told her who to go talk to, and we're gonna cover that for you and all kinds of stuff. And so he said, he almost started crying, and he said just this morning I was just praising God, and said, I really have to go to this men's conference, but thank you, Father, that you'll provide a way. And so. Probably, probably what the Lord was trying to tell my wife was is pay for his men's conference, and he got a free dinner out of it too. Either way, or maybe the $20 could have been going toward the men's conference or whatever. But either way, the guy was blessed, and not only was he blessed. I know at the conference he came down on one of the lines for some things. I know God blessed him there, and then the last day we have giveaways, and he won $50 at another restaurant. So he ate more. He got spiritually blessed, physically blessed, got an extra $20 out of the whole thing. But here's the deal. I think the Lord was probably trying to lead her to pay for the men's conference, but she didn't, for whatever reason. So, but it doesn't hurt. She got an extra $20 too. So my wife, came to tell me, she can't wait till I get out of the bathroom. I'm thinking something's really serious, because usually, I'm in the bathroom. She usually kind of lets me do my business, and whenever she's knocking on the door, she says, she's tell me, she was excited that she followed God. But here's the other thing about it. There might have been people that God's been trying to direct to pay for his men's conference or give him some money the last 3 or 4 days. And for whatever, he doesn't need it, or I can't really afford it, the thing about it is the devil will try to stop. They're trying to block, and I know, I saw him like so many times. I know he got really blessed this weekend, besides getting blessed financially and with food, he got really blessed. And it's such an awesome feeling, that we're able to just, to be a blessing to him. In fact, he told me, we were at the men's conference and he came and told me thank you. And I didn't do anything. I was just going to the bathroom. I mean, I'm with you. I'm all for it, but I guess the Bible says when two become one flesh, we're together. So I guess I did through my wife, because that's part of me. It was my money, but the thing about it, she goes, what's the funny part about it is, she goes, because really, I haven't really talked much to your wife. I mean, every once in a while, she would tell him stuff, because my wife is real big on cleaning the pool too. So she's like, hey, I already put a certain chemical in the pool. I already did that. But that was kind of their conversation, about the pools. And we really hadn't had a conversation about life at all. But, he says, it was just for him, he never thought in a million years that he would use, my wife, to provide money for him because of the men's conference or anything. But you never know. You never know. And, but the thing is, what I'm trying to tell you is there is an unseen force that's trying to block what God wants to do for you. And sometimes, in the way, so like I said, it's not like that these people were intentionally trying not, to give, my grandfather and his family, groceries. It's the devil was lying to the person saying he doesn't need that. Remember, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy? So he was stealing food from him. And what happens a lot of times when that happens is, and we don't get our blessings quick as we think we should, we get mad and just stop believing. We quit standing. We quit believing. Keep believing. Keep standing. And understand that it's not flesh and blood, so it's not like you can do anything about it anyway. Well, if you want to do something about it, then you start praying. Now, my grandfather, if you read a lot of his books, he said, I'm calling the ministering angels to go and cause the money to come. I mean, I don't know how many times I talked to the devil myself. I said, devil, you have no right. You have no authority to attack my body, my kid's body, or whatever. And I have found out in my life that when the devil finds he has trouble attacking you, he'll try to attack your kids and your family. Or even a situation on the way driving down here that one of our employees, that his brother tried to commit suicide. What happened was his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, had left him 2 days ago, and he's going through depression and but because of what he's been going through, that also was attack on the whole family, attack on their brother, and he's in Iowa, and he's there, and trying to help him, and then, he obviously never thought this would happen. Thank God is that he hung himself, but he didn't succeed because he was, I guess he was at his parents' house or whatever. And so they found him and so he was still breathing and stuff like that. But an attack on the family is an attack on you. And I don't know how many times, things going on in our own kids' lives. It mentally, a lot of times we can't physically do anything, but mentally it weighs us down. But my wife and I, we were talking about these very scriptures just the other day. And we have to remember, you know, that a lot of times, I mean, you know, we can give advice, but a lot of times people won't take advice. I mean, you know, they're, you know, especially kids. They're like, I know. But, you know, but the deal is that a lot of times we just got to start praying and confessing. You know, and my grandfather, you know, said, you know, it's not like whenever you ask, you only have to ask one time. But then from then on, you just confess, it's done. You praise God. Thank you, Father, that you've caused the money to come. Thank you, Father, that this is done now in the name of Jesus. You know, and we have to remember, you know, scripture that everyone obviously knows, over in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 4. And it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Understand, because we have the greater one on the inside of us, that we can defeat the enemy. The enemy's already been defeated. Now, what do we have on the inside? Well, it says that the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you. I mean, you know, in this is what really kind of irritates me about Christianity. You know, we all know that scripture. We quoted the scripture. And usually you quote that scripture, I see people, I don't know how many times. You know, thank you, Father, you know, because it says it will quicken my mortal body. And so what we use that for is when we're tired in the morning, we thank God for the dead raising spirit so we can not be tired. And, you know, that's part of it. But you know what? This is a spirit that raises the dead. That's what's on the inside of you. The power and ability to even raise the dead. Even raise the dead if it's you. I mean, you know, we have more than something on the inside that keeps us awake. I mean, you know, and here in John, it says, the greater one dwells on the inside of you. Now, I like the New Living Translation on this verse. It says, but you belong to God, my dear children. But I like this part. It says, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Now, I was thinking, like, you know, I taught this actually at the men's conference. If you've already won a victory, you act differently than if you might win a victory. If you might win, you know, if there's a 75% chance you win, you probably even act different, you know. But if you go into any kind of battle, whether it's a football game, a chess game, or Monopoly, or whatever it is, and I mean, just think about it, is if you knew the outcome before you started, then you would probably act more cocky, you know, because, you know, you have the assurance, you win. Now, some of you also would probably, you know, take up gambling because you want to put money on yourself because you win. Like, I'm not going to make money on myself because I'm going to bet on myself, you know. But think about this. How many times are we fighting spiritual battles, whether it be for healing, whether it be for finances or whatever? I mean, they're spiritual battles. They're not natural. They're spiritual. You know, and really we have to understand we've already won. But if we would act confident, you know, but what happens is the reason we don't keep standing sometimes is because we think, well, I'm not sure if God really loves me enough. You know, but he does. Just like this angel told Daniel, God loves you. You're very precious to him. And the thing is, what it is the devil tries to tell you that God doesn't love you. And we listen to him. And that's why I can't figure it out. As you know, I read just John 10:10 to everyone all the time. Because, you know, one day it hit me when I was reading the verse. About 10 years ago, says, you know, it's pretty amazing that we're not talking about Peter or Paul. Jesus Christ himself told us 2,000 years ago, hey, guys, you know the devil? He's going to lie to you, steal from you, and try to kill you. And that's what, and, You know, and then I guess, I mean, I don't read the original Greek because I'm not a Greek, and I like Greek salad. I mean, you know, it's really good, except for Greek salad in America is not as good as Greek salad over in Greece. I found that out. But I don't really know Greek. I do know some Greek because, well, actually, I went to college. And well, I didn't learn Greek at school. I learned Greek because we were reading the fraternity and sorority's names. I mean, you know, it was interesting because when I was over in Greece, I'm like, I know what that symbol is because I've seen it in a fraternity house. You know, and I had friends in that fraternity. You know, and so, is and what's interesting part about it is I was, you know, there's terms that we know, like the Alpha and Omega, which are both Greek. And it was in the beginning and the end, it's the first Greek letter and the last Greek letter, Alpha and Omega. And so you know Greek. You know, just like some of you, when I always joke, I do know a little bit of Spanish, but I'm very fluent in food Spanish. You know, like taco, tamale, enchilada, you know, so tortilla. I mean, you know, it's when it comes to food Spanish, it's good. I'm good. I'm very fluent. I can, you know, I go to a Mexican restaurant. Actually, well, if I'm in Mexico, it's just a restaurant. You know, go to a place and, this, you know, I can order in Spanish. Two enchiladas. Oh, dos. Dos enchiladas. No, tres. You know, it's like I took a group of kids to Mexico when I was doing youth, and we were actually in Laredo, Mexico City. There's a Burger King there and a couple other fast food restaurants. And so these kids were like, you know, okay, how do you say no tomatoes in Spanish or no this or no that? I mean, how am I going to order, you know, and they were hoping that they were going to speak English in the airport. No, this is Mexico. You know, so now they're all mad or whatever. I said, you know, I can order really good in Spanish. I want the numeral uno. Well, I'll just pull the tomatoes off of it or pull the onions off of it. You know, just give me numero uno. And so that's the way you do it. You just, you know, numbers. But so I don't know the original, you know, Greek, but evidently, I mean, I'm assuming, but based upon here is he's trying to tell us, hey, we've already won a victory. It's already been, you know, it's already won. You know, like over in Romans, you know, it says that we're more than conquerors. Not just, we don't just win, we more than win. We demolish the other team. Amen. You know, I've never been a more than a winner. You know, but it says you're not just a winner, you're more than a winner. That's pretty awesome. But you're more than a winner before you start. You're more than a winner in the middle of the battle. You're more than a winner all the time. You know, when I walk in, I'm more than a winner. Now, you know, here's the deal. I mean, we just had the World Series, you know, and the Houston Astros won. And I guarantee you the next day they're walking differently. You know, and, you know, pretty soon one of these days they're gonna get a ring. You know, once the jeweler gets it all made up, and they're going to carry that ring with them for the rest of their life. And like, I'm a winner. You know, they could lose it, everything else they do. But they can say, you know what, at least 2017, I was a winner. Amen. You know, and because of that, they act differently. You know, it's interesting, you know, when you see retired athletes, and in fact, if you've ever heard of a retired athlete, you know, ever come and speak at anything, they always talk about three-time Super Bowl champions, you know, or you know, 12-time Golden Glove, you know, winner or whatever, you know. Three-time MVP, you know, because they want to talk about how they won, or the you know, they have the record for the most home runs or most this or, and it's interesting. One day I got the pleasure of hearing Joe Theismann. Now I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. Everyone knows, and they won tonight. Praise God. And Joe Theismann played quarterback for the Washington Redskins, and I actually told him when I walked up afterwards, you know, get his autograph or whatever. I said, I grew up hating you. I just want to let you know that. But I think you're okay. That time he was a sports commentator. I said, I liked you, you know. And I said, I even felt sorry for you when Lawrence Taylor broke your leg, which was a real gruesome thing. If you Google that was pretty bad. But Anyway, Jotham was talking to the crowd there, and he wasn't married at the time. He might be married now, so he didn't have a wedding ring. He actually had both hands free without having, you know. So on this hand, because he got remarried, he can wear a wedding ring. On this hand, he wore a Super Bowl ring. And he showed everyone a Super Bowl ring because I always wear it. Reminds me I'm a champion. Reminds me, you know, when I played a game and I was ready to play. And he says, on this hand, he pulled, you know, there's another big ring. I wear the NFC champion ring that I got for losing the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, he still was the champion of the NFC, but they lost the Super Bowl. He said, I got this ring before I got this ring. When I got this ring, he goes, I should have got this ring. He says, we went in as a favorite. Everyone's like, you know, on paper, I don't even know why they're playing the game. I mean, you know, and they're going to win. I mean, there's no reason. And so he says that myself and my teammates, I think it was in New Orleans or wherever, where, it was one of those cities where they have lots of party stuff and all that stuff. He said, we partied, we played, we had a good, you know, good time, and we got this ring. He says, when the time come for opportunity to get this ring, we didn't party, we didn't play, we prepared, and we were ready. So I wear both rings. On this hand, I remember, you know, there was a day that I wasn't ready. And this is what happened. I lost. But the day I was ready, I won. I became a champion. So his point to us was, always be ready. Never take anything for granted. But here's the deal. You never get this ring if you know who you are in Christ Jesus. If you know who's on the inside, you always get the winner ring. Yes. And, you know, basically here, you know, is telling you, you know, they're sizing the ring up right now. You're already victorious. I know it just started. I know you've only been standing for a day. You've only been standing for 5 hours, but you're already victorious. As long as you keep standing, amen, you're going to get the ring. Now, maybe not literally the ring. Maybe it's the finances or the healing or whatever you're, but just keep standing. And it's interesting that Paul, whenever he was saying, hey, guys, one last thing I want to tell you. Keep standing. And you understand, you're not fighting people. So if you want to go bicker with people, that's not going to help. You know, a lot of times in situations, because sometimes some of our situations that we have and we're standing against, you know, concern other people. And if they make some decisions differently, maybe, we, you know. But you know what? Instead of going to them and trying to argue your case, maybe the best thing to do is start standing. Right. Believe God. Amen. Believe God on that situation. You know, always stand. But, you know, understand that if I'll stand, I will win. I will win. I want to leave you off. I want to close with one more verse from John chapter 14. And I'm still saying the New Living. John 14, verse 13 and 14. Everybody knows this verse, and it says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And I've said many times, you know, here and other places, I said, it's interesting that Jesus basically repeated himself. Ask anything, I'm going to do it. You know, I said, ask anything, I'm going to do it. Now, they always tell you, if you repeat something, you're trying to emphasize it. You know, a lot of times, you know, in public speaking or whatever, they said, if you want to drive a point home, keep repeating that point. Keep emphasizing that point. So what Jesus was trying to emphasize, if there's anything that you need, I'll do it for you. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, if there's anything that you need, I'll do it for you. But just ask me. Just ask me. You know, and you know, or it says, ask what you will and it shall be done. Now, here's what I actually, the other day, in my own situation, and for something that I was asking for, I wasn't being specific. Now, how many times have we said, thank you, Father, that you're meeting my need? And then I said, well, you know, is that being specific? Am I really asking anything? Well, I'm just asking you because he already has said he's given us all sufficiency. You know, he's given us everything that we need. So he's already done that, really. And all of a sudden on the inside, I just felt that you need to be specific. So what is your need? If you need $3,000, you should say, thank you, Father, that $3,000 is on the way. And then that's the same way when it comes to healing. And that's why I personally, like my grandfather, always want to find out what's wrong with you. And this is what I need. I mean, I don't know how many times with my kidneys and everything else. I mean, I'll ask all kinds of questions. Okay, what do we need to happen? Well, we need your protein. We need to quit. We need you to quit spilling protein. We need this level to go down. We need this level. You know, and specifically, they'll tell me what needs to happen. So you know what I pray? Exactly what needs to happen. I want to be specific. It says ask anything. So what I need, I'm going to have what I ask. Specifically what I'm going to ask. You know, and something like meeting my need, that's kind of so general. I mean, what do I need? I probably need a lot of things. There's a lot of things I need, you know, but so be specific. Now, the way my parents do is there are certain things that every time they pray, they always ask for specific things. You know, a faith project. I always say we should always have faith projects, and you know, a lot of their projects are ministry oriented. It all started back whenever we had an airplane, and the Lord told my father or my mother or whatever said, you know what? Every time you pray, just believe God that airplane's paid off. The money's coming in to pay that airplane off. You know, so they did every time they prayed. Now, you know, every time they pray, before they go to bed, you know, in their own private prayer time, or what happens a lot, and where most people actually hear it, is when they pray over a meal. They pray over a meal, and then they follow up with all these, you know, extra stuff they tag on to the end. You know, and if you've ate with them, you know, Anthony has, I know, and you know, he's heard them that, and sometimes the prayers get longer. You know, when I was going through my kidney thing, in fact, they still tag that kidney thing on there. My mom, you know, she, you know, thank you, Father, Craig's kidneys are completely normal, completely well and healthy. Even though I've got a, you know, clean bill of health, but you know, doctors, you know, they say, well, it's in remission. They won't say you're healed. They'll say it's in remission. So my mom said, well, I've already got it on there. So it's on every time I pray. It's always there. And it's tagged on there. And there's certain other times, you know, with family situations, they tag more stuff. And some of them like, man, you know, our tags are more longer than the prayer. But, you know, and they don't just do that whenever they eat. They do it every time they pray. Every time. And here's something. If something is really important to you, you would keep saying, you keep believing, you keep standing. You know, and I've said many times, I mean, I know most of you, you know the Bible, and you know the story with the, you know, one with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5. And it says, he pressed through the crowd. You know, and there was a great multitude, a lot of people around Jesus. And she touched the hem of his garment, and I'm assuming she was probably crawling on her hands and knees trying to get through the crowd because it was, you know, and she was dying. She was sickly. I mean, you know, there's so many things, but she was going to do whatever to get to Jesus. But why? Because she said, if I just touch by his clothes, I shall be healed. But what if she would have got 3 feet away and said, I just can't do this anymore. I pressed through all these people, and Jesus keeps, I mean, he keeps getting farther. Because actually he was on the move. He actually wasn't stopping. If you read the story, he was on his way to Jairus' house to pray for his daughter. And so he wasn't standing there, you know, one place speaking. The only reason he was a little slower because there's so many people that he couldn't get through very fast. You know, and so this woman had to continue trying to catch him, and this is a woman who was sick and dying, so it would have been really easy to stop and to quit and to say, well, you know, today's not my day. You know, but if that would have happened, we never would have read that in the Bible. And I don't know how many times I preached from, I don't know how many times my grandfather preached from, and other people preached from that message. And, you know, it's a message of perseverance. It's a message of having what you say. The message for doing what you say, having what you say. And there's all kinds of faith things on in there. But what if that story was never happened? Because the woman quit. So then I started thinking about this. What about the stories that could have happened in the Bible that didn't because somebody else quit? You know, and I've told you, you know, when I came back from Greece about Paul and Silas in jail. What if after they got let go that they went home and said, "I'm just going to be a carpenter now. I'm going to do this preaching stuff." Well, what would happen is all these churches would have never been formed, all these books would have never been written. We wouldn't have Philippians, Colossians. We wouldn't have all these books. I mean, you know, we wouldn't have Ephesians. We wouldn't have Galatians. Now, was it God's will for him to, you know, for Paul to write those? Yeah. But I remember my grandfather, whenever he's, you know, the Lord told him to start a training center, he said he called three other people and they didn't do it. You know, the thing about it is I often thought, man, you know, how many times, you know, what about the people that stop? What about the people that don't do it? You know, life can be, I mean, I've thought many times, you know, well, what if my grandfather would have died? I mean, I wouldn't be here because I'm, you know, genetically, I'm from his line. But, you know, I've heard many people say, you know, Brother Hagin, if it wasn't for you and your messages, I wouldn't be here. I mean, how many life wouldn't have been touched? You know, if he would have died at 17 years of age, I mean, you know, he had opportunities many times. You know, you heard about death, his experience when he died on his way to hell, and then later on he died, you know, but he was on his way to heaven. But it wasn't time. In fact, whenever he was born, he was dead. I mean, there was no life. I couldn't see any life in him. You know, so what's my point? Keep standing. You know, there's so many testimonies that we probably don't have right now because someone else didn't stand. You know, going back to Daniel, he stood 21 days and he got the answer in a very dramatic form. You know, and I'm not saying you're going to see angels and you're going to see this and you're going to see that. But I don't care if it takes 21 days. I don't care if it takes 21 years. Keep standing. Having done all to stand, I keep standing. I keep fighting. How am I fighting? I'm fighting against the devil and all his cohorts and all these evil spirits that are trying to stop the blessing from coming to me and to my family, you know, and everybody else. I just keep saying, I keep believing, and I keep believing, and I keep believing, because I know as long as I'll stand, I will win. Amen. I will win. I am a winner. You know, and I act like a winner because I know I am. And I think a lot of Christians got to change their attitude. They need to act like a winner. They need to have an attitude of a winner. You know, a lot of Christians are trying to figure out, well, it might happen, right? You know, well, you know, I mean, and I guess because, you know, growing up in the family I grew up in, I mean, my grandfather always, he said, you know, God's word works. God's not a liar. You know, so it works. The only reason it doesn't work is because we stop. We quit. We don't believe. The Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. So the point is nothing is possible if you don't believe. Only believe. And I always say that we have the easy part. All we got to do, what do we believe in? God. Well, most people believe in God. We believe in God and his ability and his authority. I mean, how hard is it to really believe that God's ability and authority, that he can't meet your need? You know, but a lot of us, for whatever reason, we act like the devil has more power and authority than God does. Because we're listening to his lies. I mean, we're listening to the liar that Jesus told us 2,000 years ago was going to keep lying to you. And I like it. And it says his purpose is to lie to you. He lies to you on purpose all the time. 24/7, he's the biggest liar that I know. And he keeps lying and keeps lying. And then even when, you know, even when we figure out he's lying and we do get our needs met, the next time around, he lies to you again, and sometimes we fall for it again. I mean, that's, you know, the reason we have testimonies is so we, you know, we go through things and we're like, man, I mean, you know, it's great to hear testimonies with someone that went through something similar, and like that's great. If they, my point is, if they got through it, I will get through it. Amen. All right, but my point is that Jesus got through it, and has provided a way for you to get through. All we have to do is believe. We've already won. You're already a winner. When you walk in the room, every time, when you pray the first time and ask about anything, you already win. I mean, think about how this awesome would be. You know, I know we just passed fair season, you know, and you play these games and think, I don't know why they call it the fair, because these games don't seem like they're very fair. You know, and if you, I know people who are pretty good at basketball, they go and shoot the basketballs in these hoops and they can't make it. And the reason is because the basketballs are super inflated and the hoops are super small. That's why Tom Brady can't ever win anything. He tries to throw his football through, you know, through the things, he can't do it because he can't throw an inflated ball. Actually, he can, because I saw the Super Bowl and they made sure that it was inflated and he was able to throw the ball, and he did pretty well. I'm sure Tom Brady's probably won quite a few prizes. But my point is how many times, I mean, you know, and if you have kids, this is hard with kids, you know, because I took my granddaughter to the fair she wants this certain prize, and you know, you just don't win this certain prize, you know, every time. And there is a way to keep doing it. You know, I guess if you persevere long enough, you know, but how cool it would be to go to every game and know, you know what, soon, you know, I'm going to win every game. I don't even have to worry about whether I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I mean, you know, you'd be the guy walking out with all these stuffed animals and, you know, things like that. Now, I've seen people like that, and they usually, there's a minimum of two. You can't have any more than two. Now, they don't, but people won't know you have two if you quit carrying around. Go take them to your car and come back and get more, you know. But the point is, man, I mean, you know, you think about, you know, like I said, I use the ring, you know, or, you know, stuffed animal or whatever. What we need to do is just imagine our prize. Well, what is our prize? Well, it's our healing. It's our financial, you know, need met. Maybe you've had a situation where you've been worrying all the time, or been depressed, or whatever. I mean, you know, it's feeling normal, not being depressed. Not, and so, but you know, think about how awesome it is to feel like that. Well, that's what winners feel like. So just feel like a winner. Now, my grandfather always said, well, you know, when people need healing, he says, imagine yourself healed. He said, you know, he would say stuff like, you know, people get in the healing line and, you know, they get up and they look like they were healed. And said, well, what would you do if you're completely well? I would start shouting, running, and, you know, all this stuff. Said, well, then do it. Because you're healed by faith. You have the money by faith. You're a winner by faith. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. We thank you, Father, that you have made us to be more than a conqueror. We thank you we're always victorious in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the unction to keep standing. To keep standing until the answer is here. We come against any kind of devils and demons, and we come against the evil spirits that try to stop us from receiving our blessings. And we thank you, Father, that each and every time that we're going through a situation where we need a blessing, that we need something, that we'll be specific and we'll ask and we'll stand and we'll believe and we'll act like winners and we'll receive our needs met. We thank you for it now. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.